Never in the history of the Honest Women podcast has a topic been so juicy and so loaded that we simply could not contain it to one 30-minute episode until today. Today we get honest, again, about how money issues in marriage are always about more than dollars and cents, and share the info you need to have better conversations with your partner for real this time. You're listening to Honest Women, the podcast for every woman who's trying to juggle the relationships, roles, and responsibilities that come with modern womanhood and finding it all just a little harder than she thought it would be. We're your hosts, Andrea Berkeley
and Jessica Hutchison, your new besties who just happen to be therapists. And while we believe that life is hard and there's no tip or trick that will solve that, it does get just a little bit easier when we can be real with each other and talk about it honestly.
You're listening to Honest Women. Hey, Jess.
Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning. I am feeling a lot better than I did the last time we sat down to start this conversation. How about you?
You know what? That's a good point. I am too. I didn't pinpoint that until you said it, but I do too.
Yeah, last week was a little rough. We were activated. Sweaty palms.
Super anxious about it.
Heart beating fast.
I was like, the people are gonna know that I don't like this topic.
I know.
And I suck at talking about it.
Yeah, and actually no one likes this topic. And everyone sucks at talking about it. So that's why we're here. And look, just one honest conversation in and we already feel better. So we are ready to get things done.
Let's do it, girl.
Let's do it. This is part two of our conversation on money and marriage. So if you're listening for the first time this week, first, make sure you subscribe to this podcast. I actually think you're following it on Apple or Spotify. I think you're subscribing if you're on YouTube, but then go back and listen to last week's episode. I mean, you don't technically have to, but I think it kind of does make sense in the order that we did it. So
I agree.
Do that. Come back. We'll still be here. Last week, we went through the reasons that money is so hard to talk about generally, and then how our own personal histories impact our thoughts and our feelings and our behaviors around money and complicate the topic in our marriages. I loved this quote from financial therapist Amanda Clayman. People think money is a rational, concrete topic when it's really a highly emotional subject that's hardwired into our sense of survival. So while we each have our own unique histories, there are actually four stories that we tell about money. This is according to Sonia Britt, the chair of the Personal Financial Planning Department at Kansas State University. So I thought we could start by walking through these and then maybe revealing a little bit about ourselves, like
yeah,
which
girl.
One is ours.
Let's just air all our dirty laundry.
And you know who else's laundry I thought we could air?
Our husbands.
Yes.
Yes. I love it.
If we're talking about money in marriage, we have to talk about money in our marriages.
Yes, we do. Which, funny, quick story, when I was talking to my husband about some things that we'll get to later in this episode, he goes, are you going to use this today when you're recording?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
No, what? No?
I'm like, of course not.
Well, now's the
like
test.
Asking.
Does your Dan listen to the podcast? This is the test. My Dan does.
I know. Your Dan, it listens religiously.
Yeah.
My Dan does not listen religiously. He watches the shorts and whatnot.
Yeah.
We have this interesting thing where I don't want to feel like I can't speak freely.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, hey, listen to this one. Listen to that one. And other ones. Yeah.
You're like, you don't need to listen to that one. That's cool.
Remember, I just started listening to podcasts.
It's true.
We're not big podcast listeners.
Yeah. You and your husband.
No.
I have the opposite problem. I have an addiction and I have to actually
He's
stop.
Like a YouTube short and Instagram reels at it.
Okay.
Versus right. like a podcast. I don't think either of us have very good attention spans.
Yeah.
And that is part of the problem.
Yeah. Which is probably making it hard for you to talk about like long-term financial strategies in your marriage.
Totally. Should we go ahead and just dig
Do
in,
it.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So like one of the first money scripts out there is number one, money avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to deal with it. And I certainly don't want to think about it. And I would probably put myself in that category.
Yeah. I'm also in that category. If I had to pick one that was my predominant category, it would be that. But it's not only that. Let's go through the rest of
Agreed.
Them and then we'll come
yep.
back.
Okay. So number one was money avoidance. I don't want to deal with it and I certainly don't want to think about it.
Absolutely. Number two is money worship. We've talked about this one before. That's believing that everything would be better if we just had more money.
Yeah, I feel you on that one. Number three is money status, which means for whom money and the amount of money you have is equal to your self-worth as a human.
Yep. And number four is money vigilance. It's those who are nervous about funds to the point of self-deprivation. Before we jump in, these are all negative.
They're all terrible. And So quick story, I actually sent Andrea a text yesterday and I was like, hey, I found this quiz online that like helps me identify what my money script is. My highest one that it ranked me was different than I would have thought it would be.
Really?
Which I found interesting. Yes.
What was it?
Well, I would have said my top one was money avoidance.
Yep.
However, according to this online quiz I took, I was closer to the money worship one, where I had this belief that things would be better or easier if there's more money.
Yeah, I think that money avoidance and money worship can go together.
Mm-hmm.
Or money worship and money vigilance can go together. You've got a sense that we need more money. And I think that one's universal, don't you think?
Oh, agreed. Because money, it hits that sense of safety. If we don't have enough of it and we can't pay our bills, well, now we're worried about losing our homes and we're not being able to put food on our table. Mm-hmm. It is directly correlated with that safety, which makes it emotional.
Yes. And this is so good. It's so juicy, Jess.
Oh, no.
Our money is used according to our values.
Yes.
And so even if we get to that point that all those financial people I listen to talk about where money is a tool, it's like, well, a tool for what? If we get to the point where it's just a tool to lead us to live lives that are in accordance with our values, we're still going to want it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Unless you're like Mother Teresa and you're just like, I want to give away my dollars and live a life of poverty.
Yeah, I don't think that exists.
Not in our country.
No, hell
not in myself. I can say that.
No, I agree. So then when I'm looking at those four scripts, I would say that my husband, if I were to have him take the quiz or identify it, his would be the same as mine.
Really?
Oh, totally. We both would have vigilance as like dead last, which is part of the problem for sure.
Yeah.
Status would actually be his lowest, but I think avoidance and worship would be his top two as well.
My husband, Dan. Both of our husbands are named Dan. It makes it really hard.
Which Dan are we talking about?
So Andrea's Dan, if I had to assign him one of these things, it would be money vigilance.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing is, if he were to describe how he is with money, he would say, I'm the one who's good with money. We get into judgment calls here.
Andrea's Dan, that is not a script. That is not a money
script. It's not a money script. Better than you at money is not a script.
No, it's kind of actually an insult.
It is. Right. Again, it gets relational, but his is vigilance. He's always preparing for the future and God bless it. I'm so thankful. I actually, after our last episode, texted him. I'm so happy to be married to you because we have a future that we would not have if I were captain of the ship.
What you're tapping into are your two's value system, which may be different. Yes.
Let's jump into the values.
Yeah.
Because I think that not only do we have our history, and our history informs these money scripts and the ways that we generally think about and behave around the topic of money, but when we get down to it, money is something that we're spending in a highly emotional way. And I think when we understand that behaviors around money should align with our values, we can start to have better conversations around
it. Absolutely.
So, Jess, can you think of any money issues that are really more about your values or your goals or like what's important to you in marriage?
Yeah. So this morning, actually, while reading this book that I happened to be reading in preparation for this episode, there were a few different questions that she suggested asking. And I happened to, at 6 o'clock this morning, go upstairs and tap my husband on his shoulder. And I'm like, hey, question for you, which he literally will look at me and be like, oh, no. And I'm like, no. It's just one question, which he also knows is never
probably
true.
Probably not true. Yeah.
And I asked him a couple of these questions. He's like, Jess, you said there was one. I'm like, Dan, there's never just one. Come on. You know this about me. But we started having this conversation about our values, mm-hmm. which really kind of started with, what is your biggest fear when it comes to money? Mm-hmm. That is the question I asked my husband. Yes. And his response was actually pretty accurate mm-hmm. to what mine would be, which led to this value-based conversation about wanting to provide for our children. Yeah. And we align with that mm-hmm. very much so, with wanting to give not to excess, but being able to say, sure, we can do that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, a lot of our values are around our kids. Mm-hmm. Now, there are some things that are different, like for a long time, the food that I bought, mm-hmm. he didn't understand why I had to buy some healthier stuff that would cost more money. He now does. Mm-hmm. Health now takes a higher priority. But that is one of the values that I see in our spending, is what we consider good or what we want for our children. That's a place we actually align quite well.
Yeah. I think we also feel the same way. There's a sense mm-hmm. of not, I want to give my kids everything that they want, but I never want them to worry. If you examined our spending, have you ever heard that phrase that if you want to know something about who someone really is, check their calendar and check their bank account?
They would not want anybody to do that to me at all. That opens up for way too much judgment.
Don't actually do that to somebody. But if you reflect back on your own actual spending patterns, mine would reveal that there's nothing that my kids, quote, quote, need that we don't give them. For example, my kids want to play travel sports. We don't even discuss if we're going to pay for it.
No, nor do we. We just do.
So what value, what importance are we actually exhibiting there? If we actually say, why do we do this? What do you think that means?
Well, I think it goes back to the money script we grew up in. I grew up in a very vigilant household, really, with my mom. And so I think I don't want my kids to feel that really kind of like deprived of things. And that is what leads to a lot of the purchases that get made. Now, don't get me wrong. If my daughter wants something like some name brand thing that is asinine, heck no.
Right.
Absolutely not. That is not something I will give her. I see it all the time. And I'm like, no, girl,
right.
I want you to earn that. But to be able to say, oh, you need to go get these new shorts or whatnot, I don't want her to feel deprived. And that is something I felt growing up in a social setting.
I think for us, the travel sports thing is we value physical activity. We value teamwork. We really mm-hmm. value working hard. And right now, my kids are getting their asses kicked in their travel sport of choice. We love it. It's mm-hmm. so intense. And all of these things are positive traits in our kids. And so honestly, that's a part where our spending really does align with our values. However, the fact that we don't even second guess it, and it's a stunning amount of money, can cause some drama in our world, because that might run into other areas of spending or saving because it's just a green light in our family. And we've never really talked about it, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I will own that as well. We should probably sit down and talk about it more than we do. I think from a value system, my husband and I certainly agree mm-hmm. when it comes to kids and what we provide for them and want to provide for them. Where we get into some issues is personal.
Yeah, say more.
I was thinking a lot about this whole idea mm-hmm. of financial infidelity and how easy financial infidelity mm-hmm. is in today's world, especially now that I own my own business and I work and bring in a different type of income. Right.
It just results in dollars you can spend.
Exactly. A lot more dollars. And I think in just today's world, when you don't have that checkbook where you're registering mm-hmm. everything and your partner sees mm-hmm. it, it's a lot of checks and balances when it comes to purchases. For me, I would buy 50 cheap shirts for the summer that I might only wear one summer, knowing they're going to be out of style. And my husband thinks that's insane because he just sees 50 shirts mm-hmm. versus he would go buy five that would cost as much as my 50. And he would look at that amount, like, how could you buy 50 and I buy five? And there's like not necessarily the dollar amount, but then also another mm-hmm. pair of shoes will show up. Fun fact, my husband loves shoes. He's a shoe guy, loves tennis shoes. And I can't tell you how many times I harbor resentment when another shoe box comes. I'm like, why do you need another pair of shoes? He's like, well, why do you need another tank top? I'm like, touche, go away.
Right, right. Get out of my face. Right. Let's avoid this topic now.
I'm like, because my tank top was $12, bro, from Target, right. And your shoes, right, were how much? Right. This is, and there lies the problem. That, yes, is not a good conversation. It is, no, an argument.
It totally is. And this comes out in kind of ugly ways in my own life as well. So my husband just doesn't like to spend money. He doesn't want to go shopping. This is a value passed down from his family. Like, oh, his mom is wearing a t-shirt from a conference that she spoke at 12 years ago that was free. There was never any value placed on getting ready. When I am at the family house, I think I'm the only one that's ever put on makeup or dried my hair.
Wow.
I know. I know they think I'm so weird. I recently realized I don't fucking care. Because what we know is that when women become mothers, they are very likely to take any extra money and spend it on their kids. And this is 100% true for me. You know, we'd, yes, be like, well, they have to have not a Stanley cup, but a water bottle. They have to have not Lulu, but they do need pants. So we spend on them and then there's nothing left, or we want to avoid, and so we don't spend on ourselves. So my whole thing has changed. I want to go shopping. I want to buy a new shirt because for years and years and years, I didn't because they needed it. And also for years and years and years, I didn't because I didn't feel good about my body. And there was always a sense of someday in the future, I will be skinny enough to basically merit buying new clothes. And now I'm like, no, I'm going to go buy a new shirt. I'm going to go get my roots dyed. And, mm-hmm, I'm going to just do the things that make me feel good in my body. And that's a way of establishing myself as a human. Meanwhile, my husband, he literally couldn't care less. It's just not something that he does. But I think that this can come out in our marriage then as if I'm frivolous or I'm a spender. And there can be some attitude there around that.
You know what? There's really no right or good way.
No.
I have never, ever, ever felt deprived or that I couldn't do something. It's my own guilt, right?
Right.
That will, you know, say, well, this is the reason I spent so much on my hair because I only do it, you know, every 4 months and whatnot. It's my own guilt. And my husband has never, ever, ever gotten upset with me for spending that, which then adds more stress to him though.
Right.
Right. I'm not saying it's a good thing. It, right, adds more stress of, I don't want to deprive you. I don't want to say you can't do that.
Right.
But oh no, now I'm going to like hold inside that I'm a little worried about next month or income or whatnot. Right.
Totally.
It's like, regardless, it's hard.
And it's interesting that you might spend according to your values, and having a conversation about what those values are can make that all make more sense. That doesn't mean that we don't have stress. And I think part of it is that we've come around to just avoiding enough.
Yep.
And so we need to have these conversations about our values to make it make sense. But then we also do have to talk about dollars. Because I have lots of values. I value spending time together with my family. I value travel. I value time freedom. So I want someone to come clean my house. But, mm-hmm, I can't just spend for all the good reasons because we run out of money.
Well, and that avoidance has certainly been a problem within ours,
right,
where it's not talked about till it has to be talked about. That is not great because then you have two emotionally charged people who, right, are on the defense. Mm-hmm. And I will say that being able to have a conversation even this morning for 15 minutes about our value system, I gained so much insight and it was, mm-hmm, so not defensive that I'm kind of like, why did it take so long? And it wasn't like a budget or anything. I, right, just asked three simple questions and his answers to it, I'm like, wow, we are actually on the same team here on that.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
the same page. I, yes, was shocked. And he's, yeah, like, so are we done now? Like, is there a fourth? And I'm like, no, we're good. It's 6:15 in the morning. We can go work out now.
Right.
But, you know, right, it was really helpful to say, I actually feel that same way. And, you know, another question I had asked him was, what did your parents teach you about money?
Mm-hmm.
And I had an idea. And remember, we grew up very, very, very different. His parents are still married. They have a very strong family system that I really admire and mm-hmm, want to bring to mine. And he said, you know, they taught me to save. And then he stopped and he said, but they actually didn't teach me to save. They just, mm-hmm, instilled fear. Like, you have to save, you have to save, you have to save. But they never, right, actually taught me how I should save or where, mm-hmm, it should go or what I should do. And that is the problem. And I'm like, right, oh my gosh. Yes, my parents, well, one side of the fence, taught me to fear not having enough money, but, mm-hmm, never taught me what to actually do. It was just, don't run out of money. Don't run out of money. Don't run out of money. Don't. And no wonder there's avoidance because it's fear-based.
Mm-hmm. And because we don't have the skill.
We don't have the skill.
Right. And we didn't see our parents have the skill. You just think about how much different it would be. And there was an example about this in the book that we both read where dad sits down once a month, doesn't have to be dad, by the way, pulls out the bills and the checkbook, writes it down, never flustered, not worried, but he just gets it done. And you're witnessing that as a child. Mm. We spend money, things cost actual dollars, and then you have to pay for those things. And then how much money is left? And then you have to make your decision about what to buy next. It's a process, an actual process, a boring, not sexy process that we need to start doing together and in front of our children.
You know, we've started doing that and it is a fine line, right? To walk when you've never had it modeled for you. Because for me, it was always, well, I spent this much and your dad owes this. Like it was so, I feel my heart start to beat faster when I remember all those scenarios. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's this fine line of being able to say, hey, listen, when you don't want to go to that travel sport today, or you're complaining, like, let's just talk about how much of an investment this is.
Right.
But you have to do it in a way that then, you know, my daughter who is like, well, can we not afford that? Like, do I need to quit? And it's like, no. We're just like teaching the value of money and how things cost.
Right.
But I have found that a really difficult conversation to navigate with insight for my kids, but not letting it be a stressor or something they worry about.
I think, like you said, when we start to explicitly have conversations with our spouses and with our kids, we find that we can have positive conversations. But if we don't sit down and have those conversations or have them on the regular explicitly, I end up just sending a lot of negative money messages or conflicting ones. Every once in a while, now I'm trying to say to my kids, you know, let's check the price tag on that. Or let's look at how much it costs to sit down and eat out for dinner. And then they go, oh, no, should we not do that? Just like your daughter. Well, no, we can do that. So now I'm saying money is bad and everything costs a lot, but we can do it, but you don't understand how. And actually, we don't understand how because we are not talking about it. Like it just...
You're like, so should we just have another conversation now?
Yeah, we send plenty of negative money messages, I think.
We do too.
You know.
I do. I don't think my husband does. Yeah. I'll own that. He really doesn't. It's more me. It's a lot about my history with money and messages. Yeah. I have really learned that just with these two episodes. Mm-hmm. I've really, really learned how my history of money has led to a lot of avoidance in my own relationship. And I mean, honestly, a part of me, even as we're talking now, wants to go give my husband a hug and be like, thank you for like never making me feel deprived like I once did. And I also know what that's done to you and your stress level. Like I see that now. I get a little choked up.
Oh,
look at me getting emotional in my own podcast.
Because when these conversations translate into real life action, real life conversations, they mean so much more, right?
Really
so
do.
Our poor listeners are probably like, would you just fucking tell me how to talk about this in my house?
They're like, are you guys just having like a therapy session with each other? Are you actually trying to help us?
Yes, we are having a therapy session together. And that is hopefully to your benefit, our dear listener. But let's actually talk about if our listeners want to have a better conversation about money in their marriage today, what should they do?
I am going to recommend what I did this morning, maybe not at 6 a.m. It depends on how your spouse or partner would respond to it. I happened to catch mine when he was open to the conversation, but I will tell you that the questions I asked him were so helpful and non-emotional. Mm-hmm. And that first question was, what are your fears about money? Mm-hmm. His answer, I looked at him, I said, that's my exact one too.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I love that because when you're talking about the emotions and the things around it, you get to relate to one another. Then you only have a problem to solve.
Yes.
Or if you're asking not only what's your money nightmare, because a lot of times we have just negative conversations. I think it's fun to say, if you won the lottery tomorrow, what would you want to do with that money? Like, what are we trying to achieve here? You know?
I have to chuckle because we've talked about that winning the lottery And his and mine were so different.
I bet.
His was so much more grandiose than mine. Yeah. Another question I asked him that I learned a lot is, how do you define financial security? Mm-hmm. If anybody who listened, who knows my husband, he's got one hell of a sense of humor, mm-hmm. which is amazing, but not always in serious conversations. Mm-hmm. So I thought he was giving me a snarky response. And he goes, it means I can get up and do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And I looked at him, I'm like, haha, funny. He goes, okay, no, let me explain that differently. Mm-hmm. He goes, I don't mean get up and just like not have to worry about my family or anything, yeah. but not have to feel like I have to do this. I have to do that. Mm-hmm. Just like feeling like I have a kind of like a ball and chain in a different way mm-hmm. where like I can't take the day off right. or I can't go outside and just like go running because I've got to be on this call. He's like, I just would love to not have that. Mm-hmm. And it gave me such a different understanding of him yeah. in that moment, because I'm like, wow, you are indirectly telling me how stressful this is for you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And you're able to care about that, right?
Yeah.
It engenders some empathy in you and connection, right?
Big time.
Couple other important things. Start having these conversations as soon as possible. You need to go have a conversation with your person today.
I agree.
Any conversation. Just start the conversation.
And Andrea, maybe you can pop these four really great questions mm-hmm. into the show notes yep. and have, I'm telling you guys, these were four questions that stimulated, is not the right word, started a really good conversation yep. that I truly wish I would have asked 10 years ago in my own marriage.
Yep. So we've got the kind of big emotional questions, but then we do believe that every person who is an adult in your household needs to be involved in managing money, like literal dollars. And the couples that are happiest, there's actually studies on this, talk about their budget once a week because once they don't week. End up in a hole that makes them feel scared and stressed. And they just stay on top of things once a week is what they recommend. Oh my God.
I know. So I know. Stressful. And let me go ahead and say, this is the pot calling the kettle black here, folks. Like, this is something that I am not currently doing, but we are starting to do and yeah. implement within my own household. Earlier, the better. And I will tell you what, it will hold you accountable.
Yep. And when money conversations turn into fights, because even if you try your very best to have a meaningful, connected conversation, this is a stressful topic. It could take off into a fight. Just agree to give it some space, but then also agree to come back to it, ideally within 24 hours, which is honestly always a very good goal when you have an argument. So I think we've talked a little bit about what this has meant to each one of us in the real world. And now, our dear listeners, we want this conversation to not just be content for you to consume. We really want the conversation that we had to spur your own reflections, your own thoughts, your own feelings, your own curiosity. And we also want it to lead to conversations in your own life. So we will put these questions for you in the show notes, because honest reflection and conversation is the first step to real connection with yourself and with others, and you deserve nothing less than real connection, friend. Before we go, we just have to let you know, we're doing something new this week.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So excited. This is not the only time you get to hear from Honest Women this week.
Dun, dun, dun. Wait, that's probably not the right sound effect.
You can do a different one.
Is that like a drum roll? That sounded like I motorboated you.
We are not in the same room. It did not happen. Oh, God. Okay, so we're going to try something new. Actually, this is good, Jess, because what we're doing is a question-based episode that's going to be uncut and unfiltered, just like what just happened. So we are going to deal with one question related to the topic that we talk about on Tuesday, and we're going to let you know what we really think. So we cannot wait to see you in just a couple days. That's it for today's Honest Conversation. But don't be sad. Didn't you hear? We'll be here for you, speaking some truth and feeling some feels every Tuesday and Thursday. So make sure to follow the show so you don't miss a thing. If you love what you heard here today, we would love for you to leave a 5-star rating and a review. It helps new listeners to find the show. We truly believe that these conversations are best when they're carried out into your real life. So, share this episode with a friend and check out the show notes for more ways to connect with us outside of the show. Until next time, thank you for listening to Honest Women.